Today is the, we are observing the World Holy Name Week, and this last day of the Holy Name Week, so I have been asked to speak on the last verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. This Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 13, chapter entitled The Glories of Srimad Bhagavatam, Text 23. Nama Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Papa Pranashanam Pranamo Dukkha Samanas Tam Namami Harimparam Nama Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Papa Pranashanam Pranamo Dukkha Samanas Tam Namami Harim Param Nama Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Papa Pranashanam Pranamo Dukkha Samanas Tam Namami Harim Param Nama Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Papa Pranashanam Pranamo Dukkha Samanas Tam Namami Harim Param Nama Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Papa Pranashanam Pranamo Dukkha Samanas Tam Namami Harim Param Nama Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Papa Pranashanam Pranamo Dukkha Samanas Tam Namami Harim Param Nama Sankirtanam. The congregational chanting of the holy name. Yasya, of whom? Sarva Papa, all sins. Pranashanam, which destroys. Pranamaha, the bowing down. Dukkha, misery. Samanaha, which subdues. Tam, to him. Namami, I offer my obeisances. Harim, to Lord Hari. Param, the supreme. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Translation. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord Hari, the congregational chanting of whose holy names destroys all sinful reactions, and the offering of obeisances unto whom relieves all material suffering. Purport. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada to the 12th canto, 13th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled The Glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. The 12th canto was completed at Gainesville, Florida on Sunday, July 18th, 1982. Om Agyanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Shakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। Said, seek the permission, blessings of all the assembled devotees to be able to speak something on this glorious and very famous verse of Srimad Bhagavatam for my own purification and for the glorification of the Supreme Lord. Nam Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Papa Pranashanam Pranamo Dukkha Samanas Tam Namami Harimparam. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord Hari, the congregational chanting of whose holy names destroys all sinful reactions, and the offering of obeisances unto whom relieves all material suffering. So this is the last verse of this great literature, Srimad Bhagavatam. And basically, this is the entire summum bonum, the entire gist or the conclusion that Sukhdev Goswami is presenting to Maharaj Parikshit at the end of the 7 days of the discourse that has been happening. And this conclusion is nothing but that one should know about the Supreme Lord and one should, you know, worship the Supreme Lord with all love and devotion. That is the ultimate summum bonum. And the identity of Srimad Bhagavatam is described in the very beginning, in the first canto itself, where Srimad Bhagavatam is compared to as the ripened fruit of all Vedic literatures. If the entire Vedic knowledge is compared to a tree, the essence of the tree is the ripened fruit of that tree. Similarly, if all the Vedic knowledge, the essence of the entire Vedic knowledge is presented in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And this last verse of Srimad Bhagavatam gives the essence of the, even that, you know, ripened fruit, the essence of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that, in other words, it is the cream of all Vedic knowledge. The Vedas are compared to the desire tree because they contain all things knowable by man. They deal with mundane necessities as well as spiritual realization. The Vedas contain regulative principles of knowledge covering social, political, religious, economic, military, medicinal, chemical, physical, and metaphysical subject matters, and all that may be necessary to keep the mind and to keep the body and soul together. Above and beyond all this are specific directions for spiritual realization. So what we see here in this verse is something similar to what Krishna himself speaks in one of the concluding verses of the Bhagavad Gita. What in one of the concluding verses of the Gita, Krishna speaks, Man mana bhava mad bhakto mad yaji mam namaskuru. That is the essence of the entire instruction that has been given to Arjuna in the, all these 18 chapters. In the Chaitanya Charitamrit, Madhya Leela, Srila Prabhupada quotes Srila Rupa Goswami. And he highlights the same mood of Srila Sukadeva Goswami. He speaks the same, on the same lines. Srila Prabhupada quotes Rupa Goswami, where Srila Rupa Goswami is glorifying the holy names of the Lord. It's a very beautiful verse, which says, Akrishti krita chetasam sumanasam ucchatanam chamhasam Achandalam amukaloka sulabho vashyascha mukti shriyaha. No diksham nacha satkriyam nacha purashcharyam manag ikshate. मंत्रो यम रसना स्प्रिगैव फलति श्री कृष्ण नामात्मकः. And he gives the purport to it. The holy name of Lord Krishna is an attractive feature for many saintly liberal people. It is the annihilator of all sinful reactions and is so powerful that save for the dumb who cannot chant it, it is readily available to everyone, including the lowest type of man, the chandala. The holy name of Krishna is the controller of the opulence of liberation, and it is identical with Krishna. When a person simply chants the holy name with his tongue, immediate effects are produced. Chanting the holy name does not depend on initiation, pious activities, or the purushcharya regulative principles generally observed before initiation. The holy name does not wait for any of these activities. It is self-sufficient. So all through the Vedic literatures, we find there is this constant theme, specifically for the people of Kali Yuga, that in order to glorify the Supreme Lord, the holy names of the Lord are the easiest and the most sublime means for doing so. And in all the Vedic literatures, whether it is Srimad Bhagavatam, the Gita, and all the great acharyas, they have also upheld this importance of chanting the holy names. So today I just thought of discussing on a particular bhajan composed by one of our great acharyas in glorification of the holy names of the Lord. And he has called this bhajan as Kevala Ashtakam. Kevala Ashtakam means this holy name is the and the only thing, the only reality in this world. And all through the entire 8 stanzas of this Ashtakam, the author, he has glorified the holy name in different ways and means, and is giving us this impetus to chant the holy names with increasing sincerity. So we'll just go through the meanings of each of these verses, and at the end we'll also chant these verses, recite these verses. So very first verse, he says, Madhuram madhurebhyopi mangalebhyopi mangalam, pavanam pavanebhyopi harer namaiva kevalam. More sweet than all other sweet things, more auspicious than all other auspicious things, the greatest purifier of all purifying things, the holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. So the first adjective that he is addressing the holy name with is Madhuram. The holy name is the sweetest of all sweets. Now everyone in this world loves sweets. Who doesn't love sweets? Right? I can see many devotees, beautiful smiles. Everyone loves sweets. But then when it comes to tasting the holy name of the Lord, unfortunately, we are unable to relish that taste. And it is because as of now, due to our material conditioning, we don't have that taste for spiritual nama, spiritual rupa, spiritual gunas, and spiritual pastimes, leela of the Lord. And this is basically because we have been afflicted with this fever of material enjoyment. For so many lifetimes, this fever of material enjoyment has got so deeply rooted that it is like jaundice. When a person is afflicted with jaundice, the taste is gone. You cannot relish the taste of any, you know, healthy foodstuff. So similarly, because the conditioned soul in this material world is afflicted with the fever of material enjoyment, even though we are chanting the holy names of the Lord, somehow we are not able to relish that taste. And so someone may question that, okay, because of my capability, I may not be able to relish that taste. I'm incapable. But the Supreme Lord, He is supreme, and He is supremely merciful. If He wants, He can give me that taste instantly. Is it not? So why is it that the Nama Prabhu, why is it that the holy names of the Lord doesn't give us that taste immediately as we chant, you know? Because He is all merciful, He is all glorious. So, you know, because out of His mercy, He may just, you know, award that taste to us. That is because of two things. The very first thing is because we are not qualified to receive it. You know, in order to even benefit some spiritual aspects, we need some spiritual qualification. And the second is, even if we are given with that taste, we may not be able to tolerate it. That is also explained. It is said, many a times it is not the bad news which is intolerable. Many times good things are also intolerable. As they say, there are two types of tears. One are the tears of sorrow and the other is tears of joy. Now this may appear to be an oxymoron. Why tears of joy? Joy, one is supposed to be happy, one is supposed to be jubilant. So why should one be crying? But that is how it is. Because a person is unable to bear, unable to... I remember in my own family, one of my cousins, he had been missing for many, many years. And after many, many years, the news that he has been located and, you know, he has been joined again with the family, it was so difficult for the family members to even... Because everyone had thought that, you know, maybe he has passed off, maybe he has got killed or something like that. But then after so many years, when he was reunited with the family, I could see that jubilation. I literally saw those tears of joy. So many a times it is even the good things which are difficult to, you know, tolerate, difficult. So even if we are given with that, you know, taste of Krishna prem, we may not be able to take it. And that is why Krishna has given us this process. This process of gradual purification, by which we can gradually purify ourselves and reach up to a stage where we can appreciate the sweetness of the holy names. In the Hari Bhakti Vilas, Srila Sanatan Goswami, he also speaks something similar on the sweetness of the holy names. He says, Madhura Madhuram Etan Mangalam Mangalanam Sakala Nigama Valli Sat Phalam Chit Swarupam Sakritapi Parigitam Shraddhaya Helayava Bhriguvara Narmatram Tariet Krishna Nama. Krishna's name is the sweetest of the sweet and the most auspicious of all that is auspicious. It is the flourishing creeper, the eternal, fully ripened fruit of the Bhagavatam, and the embodiment of knowledge. O Bhrigu, even if someone chants the holy name only once, either with faith or indifference, he is immediately delivered from the ocean of birth and death. So yes, holy name is the sweetest of all things, but then we need to get onto that platform where we can appreciate that sweetness. The second compliment, the second adjective that the author here in this beautiful bhajan is comparing is Mangalam Mangale Bhyopi. It is the most auspicious of all auspicious things. If we observe that the holy names of the Lord, they are chanted in all situations. Whether it is the birth of someone in a family, immediately the family members come together and there is kirtan, you know, or if someone has passed away in the family, whether it is a joyous situation or it is a sorrowful situation, the holy names of the Lord is chanted. Even if there is any religious ceremony, the holy name of the Lord is chanted. Why so? Because it is said that the holy name is auspicious under all circumstances. Because it is just above the material considerations of auspiciousness and inauspiciousness. And there is a beautiful story in this regard. One time, Maharaj Akbar, this is a story of Akbar and Birbal. So one time, Akbar, he woke up early in the morning and, you know, he got up from his bed and went to his balcony and he was kind of stretching himself. And somehow or the other, he kind of slipped upon something and, you know, he hit the railing of the balcony on his chin. And it really was like, you know, and he looked up on what went wrong. What went wrong? How did I slip? And he was on the first floor of his balcony and he saw down some people just looking at. That was even more kind of humiliating for the king, that the king has slipped and he got such a big... So immediately that very day he calls all his ministers. you know, summon. He summoned all the ministers and he asked, ki, we'll need to find the cause. How did this happen? How could I slip in my balcony and, you know, get this pain on my chin? So immediately everyone like came together, the ministers started, the investigation started, and they found that there was nothing, you know, obvious which could have happened. So then one of the ministers, he said that, Maharaj, when you went up to the balcony, did you see someone down? He saw, yes, there were so many people down who were busy with their own course. So did you see someone before falling, before hitting that balcony? He said, yes, I saw this washerman. There was this dhobi who was looking at me when I was stretching. The Maharaj has come, you know, the first darshan. So he was looking at me, and seeing him, I just fell down and, you know, hit my chin. Minister said, got it. This face of this dhobi, the face of this washerman, proved to be inauspicious for me. So the Akbar said, the Emperor Akbar, he said, oh really? So then he must be punished. And what more punishment can he get? Let him be sentenced to death. So immediately the orders were passed that let the dhobi be sentenced to death. Let the dhobi be hanged. So the dhobi, when he heard this news, he was like, you know, terrified. And he was just wondering, my God, abhi kisi ko, you know, just seeing the emperor. So what could he do other than go to Birbal? So this dhobi, this washerman, goes up to Birbal, narrates the entire story. Look, this has happened at no fault of mine. I mean, I just looked up at the balcony. So Birbal could understand everything, and he knew his emperor pretty well. So Birbal, he gave some consolation to the washerman. And he said, don't worry, I'll try to figure out something. So Birbal goes to Akbar. And he says, Maharaj, I heard that something important happened in the assembly today. So Akbar very feelingly said, yes, you know, early morning when I got up, I hit the balcony and I got this injury on my chin. And I held a meeting with all my ministers, and it was found out that because this washerman, he was like, you know, he was looking at me, therefore this injury happened to me. So Birbal started clapping. Brilliant, brilliant. So Emperor is confused, you know, why is he clapping? He said, Maharaj, you saw the face of this washerman and you got this small injury. And the washerman looked up at your face, and what is his fate? He is being sentenced to death. So I am just wondering whose face was more inauspicious. So that way, the considerations of auspicious and inauspiciousness in this world is very relative. But then when we talk about the holy names of the Lord, it is the supremely auspicious of all auspicious things in this world. It is the purest of all pure substances. Pavanam pavane bhyopi. In deity worship, we recite this beautiful mantra. Om apavitra pavitrova sarva avastham gatopivaha. Yah smaret pundrikaksham sa bahya abhyantraha suchihi. Whether one is impure or completely pure, or in any condition of life, of purity, just by remembering the lotus-eyed Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is able to cross over all these platforms of impurity. So it is said that the holy names can purify one from more sins than one can imagine committing. Of course, that doesn't give a license to, you know, keep committing sins and keep chanting the holy names, but in the 6th canto of Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada quotes from the Brihad Vishnu Puran, this beautiful verse, which says, Namno hi yavati shakti paap nirharane harehe tavat kartum na shaknoti patakam pataki naraha. This means that by once chanting the holy name of the Lord, one can be freed from the reactions of more sins that he can even imagine performing. The holy name is so spiritually potent that simply by chanting the holy name, One can be freed from the reactions to all sinful activities. What then is to be said of those who chant the holy name regularly or worship the deity regularly? For such purified devotees, freedom from sinful reaction is certainly assured. This does not mean, however, that one should intentionally commit sinful acts and think himself free from the reactions because he is chanting the holy name. Such a mentality is a most abominable offense at the holy feet, at the lotus feet of the holy names. We'll move on to the second verse of this beautiful bhajan, where the author is saying, A brahma stambha paryantam sarvam maya mayam jagat satyam satyam punah satyam harer nama eva kevalam. The entire universe from exalted Brahma down to the lowly clump of grass is a product of the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord. The only thing that is reality, reality, again I say reality, the holy name of Sri Krishna alone, Sri Hari alone, is everything. So here the illusory potency of the Supreme Lord is being described, that how this material energy has covered everyone with this all-pervading illusion through the Avaranatmika Shakti. People in this world have forgotten their true nature. People in this world have forgotten their true relationship with the Supreme Lord and their true duty towards the Supreme Lord. And there is so much of endeavor happening all over the world to be happy, to be successful, to be, you know, glorious, to be great. But then all these accomplishments and all these dreams that people in the material world have, they are wiped by the time. Just like the drawings on the sandy beach are wiped by the waves of the ocean. A child may relish and child may, you know, have his dream entire farmhouse being drawn on the sand beach through his fingers and through different, and he may relish that. But in the very next moment, and you don't know, you know, when that next wave, when that next powerful wave will come, and that powerful wave just wipes off everything and the slate is clean again. So similarly, whether it is the creation of Lord Brahma himself, a Brahma stambha paryantam, whether it is the creation of Lord Brahma, even that is wiped off by the waves of time. Or the accomplishments of the societies of ants. They also are making a lot of endeavor to gather some foodstuffs, small particles of grain, and you'll find, you know, tens of ants just, you know, collaborating together and lifting up one particle of grain and moving from one distance to another. Whether it is the endeavor of the ants or whether it is the endeavor of Lord Brahma himself, the material energy is just so powerful that everything is going to be finished off in due course of time, except for the holy names of the Lord, which is the only true eternal thing that exists in this creation. The only thing that is over and above the influence of the material energy, over and above the influence of time. And it is not to decry the endeavors for a happy living. We are mentioning that, yes, there is an endeavor required to be successful, to be happy in this world. So, you know, these verses, they don't deject us. They don't kind of put these things or you know, just decry these things. No. These verses help us understand what should be kept as a priority. What should be kept, understanding the temporary natures of all the accomplishments and all the endeavors in this world, vis-a-vis the permanent and eternal nature of the holy names of the Lord. So that is why the holy name is also known as the absolute truth. You know, I was very intrigued that, you know, repeatedly Prabhupada quotes this beautiful phrase, the absolute truth. And I was wondering, you know, why absolute truth? And then I could understand that all other truths are subjected to the differences of time, place and circumstances, except for the holy names, holy pastimes, holy qualities and glories of the Supreme Lord. That is why the holy name is the only absolute truth in this world. Satyam satyam punah satyam harer nama eva kevalam. The next verse says, Sa guruhu sa pita chapi, sa mata bandhavo pisaha, sikshayeche sadas martum harera namayeva kevalam. That person is a true preceptor, or a true father, a true mother, or a true friend. Also, only if they teach one to always remember Lord Hari. The holy name of Sri Krishna alone is everything. So this verse, the author is highlighting the responsibilities of a true preceptor. Yes, there are multitudes of responsibility, but what is the highest responsibility of a true preceptor? The highest responsibility, it is explained, you know, who is a well-wisher? Who is considered as a well-wisher in this world? In the school, a well-wisher is someone who helps you with your homework. If some friend of yours helps you with your homework, he is considered as a well-wisher. In the college, if someone pays your party bills, someone takes you for maybe a cinema or something, someone spends money on you, he is considered as a well-wisher. You know, he is spending on me. In the corporate world, a person is considered a well-wisher if he takes some of your workload, which of course doesn't happen much. But then, you know, if someone really comes upfront and says, oh, let me share some of your workload. So yes, there are different definitions of well-wishers. But then who is the actual well-wisher is compared herein, that one who wants to benefit us in the best possible manner. So whereas the intention of all these people are good, the intention of the school friend is good, the intention of a college friend is good, the intention of a co-worker in a office is good, the intention may be good, but the impact is very short-lived. But when we talk about the actual benefit, a real well-wisher is one who inspires us to get closer to the Supreme Lord Krishna. He is the actual well-wisher. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is this beautiful story of Mukunda and his son, Raghunandan. The story, all of us know that story, that how one time Mukunda has to go out and the mother asks Raghunandan to offer this plate of bhoga to the Supreme Lord, and Raghunandan goes and he's pleading with the Lord, but the Lord is saying, okay, Raghunandan, I have taken it. But Raghunandan is kind of asking, how can it believe that you have taken it? It's still lying there. And then upon this repeated simple plea by Raghunandan, the Supreme Lord actually comes down and finishes off all the bhoga, and that pleases Raghunandan, and Raghunandan goes back to the mother, and mother asks, where is the Mahaprasad? He says, Lord took it. And then Mukunda, he arrives and he says, okay, give me Mahaprasad. And the mother says, ask your son, where is the Mahaprasad? And upon inquiring from Raghunandan, he says, again, innocently, the Lord said, I asked the Lord to come and eat the bhoga, and the Lord came and ate the bhoga. So Mukunda could understand that, you know, it's not 100%, it's not a typical Kali Yuga child, you know, which is like, you know, having his own expert intelligence to deal with the family members. But then Raghunandan, Mukunda could actually understand that, you know, let's here is a scenario which is a little doubtful, but let me give the benefit of doubt to Raghunandan. So once again he asks the mother of Raghunandan to give a laddu to be offered to the Supreme Lord, and Mukunda is watching from the window. And again Raghunandan goes and is pleading to the Lord, and the Lord is saying, oh, I already had so much of offering that you had given. But again Raghunandan is saying, you don't understand, if you don't come and eat this, I'll have to bear the brunt. I'll get a beating or something. So again the Supreme Lord, he came down and he ate that laddu. And then immediately, as he was halfway in finishing that laddu, he could see Mukunda watching from the window, and that is when he put down the laddu and he went back. So this incident, you know, passed, and you know, Mukunda was so happy that, you know, in his home such a great devotee is present in the form of his own son. And it is mentioned that in due course of time, when Mukunda and Raghunandan, they went to Jagannath Puri to meet Lord Chaitanya. Now Lord Chaitanya is that supreme personality and he knows everything that has happened. So Lord Chaitanya is asking Mukunda a very strange question. He is asking, Mukunda, Tell me one thing. Who is the father and who is the son? Are you the father and Raghunandan the son, or is Raghunandan the father and you are the son? And without hesitation, without thinking twice, Mukunda speaks up, without a doubt, my dear Lord, you know, Raghunandan is the father and I am the son. Why did he speak that way? Because he found in Raghunandan the greatest of inspiration to get closer to Krishna. So inspiration need not be necessarily coming from someone, you know, more elder to us, someone maybe in a bigger managerial or organizational position to us. Krishna may use any of his devotees to inspire us in any, you know, manner. And if we have that chakshu, if we are observant, we will be able to appreciate that help of the Supreme Lord, that inspiration that is coming from, you know, so many different varieties of devotees of the Supreme Lord. So therefore, one must be able to understand that a real well-wisher is not someone, you know, who may be giving us some material benefit or some, some impact that may be very short-lived. But the inspiration, someone who is giving us inspiration to get closer to the Supreme Lord, he is the Supreme Well-Wisher. And who could be a better well-wisher than His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada himself? And Prabhupada used to sign all these letters, you know, your ever well-wisher. That was not just to, you know, market himself. That was not just to proclaim himself that, look, you know, no one else could be a greater well-wisher than him. No. It is said that the actions spoke louder than those few words. The actions of Srila Prabhupada spoke much louder than those few words, your ever well-wisher. So therefore, yes, that is the responsibility of a true preceptor to inspire us in devotional service. We'll move on quickly. We don't have much time. The next verse speaks, Nishwase nahi vishwasah kada ruddho bhavishyati kirtaniya mato balyad harer namaiva kevalam. There is no certainty when the last breath will come and put an abrupt halt to all one's material plans. Therefore, it is wise to always practice chanting from very childhood. The holy name of Sri Krishna alone is everything. So this verse describes the futility, the frailty of material life. How the material life is so very susceptible to being destroyed at any point of time. You know, many times people speak that this all process of devotional service and process of bhakti is to be done when you actually grow old. Now the question is, who is old? Old is the period when just before death. And because none of us know when that last moment is going to come, no one knows actually, you know, who is old and who is young. And therefore, I say there are, you know, these ironical aspirations that people have. People have these ironical aspirations that in my fag end of my life, when I'll not be having much strength in my legs, I will go to the temple and I will dance in kirtan. In the fag end of my life, when there will be no, you know, strength in the teeth left and the digestive system will be weak, then I'll go and relish the nice tasty prasad that is available in the temple. In the fag end of my life, when the eyesight will be very weak, then I'll go before the deities and then I will appreciate the different ornaments and different garlands and the beautiful dresses of the Supreme Lord. These are all ironical aspirations that people in this world have. And therefore, repeatedly the acharyas, you know, starting from Prahlad Maharaj himself, they are proclaiming that this process of devotional service is to be begun now. Now is the time to begin, because all material plans will be thwarted when the curtain of material life is drawn. Sometime back I came across this TV commercial, very very funny TV commercial, but then very very sublime lesson that was there. So in a village there is this fair that is going on, and in that fair there is a magician that arrives, And the magician, he, you know, is playing his drum and that damru, and he's saying, Meherban, Kadardan, Ajao, Bhaijan. And there is this whole crowd that gathers all around him. And the magician says, Aye, aye, hum aapko dikhayenge, you know, come here, you'll see this magic. Hum ek aadmi ko kabutar banayenge aur kabutar ko aadmi banayenge. Aye, aye, aye. And, you know, people are kind of very amused that, is it really going to happen? And then the magician asks his assistant, okay, pick up someone. You know, who is there? Ask someone to come and, you know, experiment. Now, that's a big thing. How could someone just experiment for that? But then there is this assistant. He goes from person to person and he finally chooses a person. So, it is actually a family, a couple with his child. Small boy is there. So, husband, wife and child. And this assistant of the magician, he points at that man. Yes, he will come. He will come and you can try your magic on him. So the small boy is also captivated and he says, Papa, jao, jao. You know, why don't you go? So, you know, everyone, the entire crowd, they also want to have some fun. And, you know, this assistant, he pulls and the man is also reluctant and still he comes and everyone around is clapping. And then the magician says, Abracadabra, gili gili choo. And then lo and behold, this man, full-fledged, full-heighted man, right before everyone's eyes, he gets converted into a pigeon. He is a pigeon. Now the story doesn't end there. There was a balloon maker who was watching this entire magic, you know, from a distance. And when this balloon maker, he was blowing his balloon for the fair, there was this fair going on. And immediately when he saw this magic, he forgot to stop putting that air in the balloon and the balloon just, you know, became bigger and bigger and it just kind of blew with a huge bang sound. Hearing that bang sound, the pigeon flew and mixed up with the other tens of other pigeons and went up to another rooftop and everyone is looking what happened, including the wife of the person and the child of the person. Of course, that was an advertisement that anything can happen at any time. It was a life insurance advertisement that better get yourself insured. Jokes apart, the greatest insurance in this world that any of us can have is the insurance of the holy name of the Supreme Lord. If and only if we manage to get addicted to chanting the holy names of the Lord, that is the success of human life. That is what is being explained here. Nishwase nahi vishwasaha. Shwasa means breath. Nishwasa means absence of breath. When that time will come, wo nishwas ka vakt kabhi aayega, uska vishwas nahi hai. We don't know. And therefore, kirtaniya mato balyad harera namaeva kevalam. I think we'll stop at these four verses only. We'll take up the other four verses sometime later. And we'll just chant all the verses. That will be better, I think. So I've sent the bhajan on the group. This is Madhura Madhure BOP. You can look up and can repeat after me. Madhuram Madhure BOP Mangale BOP Mangalam Pavanam Pavane BOP Hare Namaiva Kevalam Madhuram Madhuram पर्यन्तं सर्वं मायामयं जगत् सत्यं सत्यं पुनः सत्यं हरेर्नामैव केवलम् आब्रह्मसम्भपर्यन्तम् पिता चापि स माता बान्धवोऽपि स शिक्षये चेत् सदा सर्तुं हरेर्नामैव केवलम् स गुरु स पिता चापि स माता बान्धवोऽपि स निःश्वासेन हि विश्वास कदा रुद्धो भविष्यति कीर्तनीय मतिं बाल्या हरे नामैव केवलम् निःश्वासेन हि विश्वास कदा रुद्धो भविष्यति वसे तत्र यत्र भागवता जना गायन्ति भक्ति भावेना हरे नामैव केवलम् हरि सदा वसे तत्र दुःखतरं यतः काचार्थं विस्मृतं रत्न हरे नामैव केवलम् अहो दुःखं महादुःखम् नीयतां कर्णो नीयतां नीयतां वच गीयतां गीयतां नित्यं हरे नामैव केवलं दीयतां दीयतां कर्णो जगत् सर्वं राजते सकलोपरि चिदानन्दमयं शुद्धं हरे नामैव केवलं त्रीणीकृत्य जगत् सर्वं राजते सकलोपरि Thank you. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Jai Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Hare Krishna Mahamantra Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Chaitanya Leela Prabhu, for setting the mood for the Japathon today, the last day of the weekly, 1 week of Holy Name Week. So we will continue with our chanting of the holy names in the presence of Radha Gopinath Ji, Srila Haridas Thakur Ji, Srila Prabhupada and Tulsi Maharani. So all are there to inspire us, and these wonderful quotations have been put, the 8 keys, so we can all take a walk and see the keys and try to absorb ourselves in the holy name. So we will begin by Srila Prabhupada's 5 minutes talk to set us into